Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized, and with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com, that's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Welcome to Whiskey and Whitetails, the show for those that hunt with a passion and drink with a purpose. As always, I'm your host, Gus.
I'm Matt.
This week, we're going to recap our trip to Kentucky for the Camp Hero Kentucky American Heroes Bourbon and Barbecue Bash. Give some updates on our whitetail season, drink some bourbon, kind of get back to our roots of how this show started from the get-go. So stay tuned.
Gus, how is the hurricane over your way?
It's been ripping and rolling all day today, actually. Kind of, well, as you're aware, it comes in bands, so there's times where I can walk outside and it's actually beautiful, and then within 30 seconds or a minute later, it's, there's 30 mile an hour, 50 mile an hour wind gusts and rain. About, I don't know, 6 miles down the road, there's mixed reports on whether it was an actual tornado or just a really bad wind gust, but it actually picked up a vehicle on Highway 52 there. I don't know if you could tell where that was at, but coming into Goose Creek, that big intersection where there's a Taco Bell right before you get to
the... So the video was like just straight rain and wind.
Yeah. Yeah. So that huge intersection where Red Bank and basically Highway 17, Highway 52 sort of intersect. It was right before that. It just picked that car up and just kind of like tossed it like a little toy.
I'll see if I can quickly find it, but I don't think I can. Do you have Twitter on your, because I don't have it on my computer.
No, I don't have my computer either.
Ah, okay. Well, if you get on Twitter, you look up Charleston, South Carolina, and hit latest, you'll see it. It was actually, I don't remember the name of the person that posted it, but it said mom of a lot of greens. And I was like, is that my mom?
Right. I did see that. That's right.
Yeah. So if you don't know about Hurricane, I guess it's Idalia.
Yeah, Idalia or something like that.
Yeah. We watched it. I watched it live this morning. So this morning, which Gus, I'm sure you had it also, at 5:15 in the morning, our phones went off with a warning that 36 hours from now, there could be surge storms.
Yeah. So funny story about that. I have that setting on my phone for like do not disturb. Apparently, it doesn't disturb you if you have even with a warning. So I need to look at that setting because that would suck.
It didn't disturb?
No, it didn't. Unless I have them all shut off, which I, that tone really does a thing with me. Yeah. And so it's possible that I turned them all off at one point in a fit of irritation.
So mine went off at 5:07 or something. And I rolled over and looked at my phone and saw weather alert. And I smacked the face of my phone, rolled over and went audibly. I said, assholes. Like who does that at 5 o'clock in the morning? But like, I'm finally like starting to like, the lights are going out in my head and I'm finally starting to fall asleep. And then the wife's phone went off and then I just got up and went to work. I was like, whatever.
Yeah.
I was talking to a guy at work about it because his went off. He has tinnitus like I do, but I guess his is super bad. So he wears noise canceling headphones and just plays white noise all night.
Oh man.
And I told him to buy a fan. I was like, get a fan.
Yeah.
But, so he had headphones on, which is linked to his phone. So when that alarm went off at five, he said he woke up and just threw his headphones across the room and was like, what?
I would lose my shit.
Yeah. So if you don't know, I'm sure you know by now, the hurricane struck land this morning as a Cat 4 in Florida, and it's churning its way currently. I think we're probably like 5 hours from seeing anything for real.
Yeah, it'll come. The worst will come, I think, for us between midnight and like 2 a.m. So
yeah,
might stay up, tie one on, and go sit outside and strap myself to a tree and see what happens.
So I'm going to tell you this. So the guy I was watching this morning that was live streaming, he has an app. Or he was using an app. I don't know if it's his app, but it's called Radar Omega. And I looked it up. It's $8.99 to buy it. And I was like, okay. From what I was watching with him, basically, like, you zoom out on the map and you can pick people. There's people that own the app and they're live streaming their current location.
Oh, cool.
Their hurricane. Right. So he was like clicking through it all on his live stream. And I thought, I'm going to get it, because tonight, I know we have this podcast, then we have another podcast after this one. So we'll be well into like 11 probably before we're done working for the evening. And, and I was like, what's 2 more hours, man? Just keep drinking. I might walk down the street and with a light and just live stream. Cause you know how it floods by my house. So high tide is at, I think 10:30. So it should be pretty gnarly here around like 1 a.m. I should be like knee deep, I would guess.
Especially that road that runs right by the marsh there over by your house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That'd be fun.
I also spent all afternoon looking at the neighbor's house. He had some guys come and give him a quote for cutting the trees back.
Oh yeah.
He didn't. So I guess they're coming back to do it. So I sat there watched the tree hit the corner of his house where the soffit is. For those that don't know, your house comes to a peak and then there's a gap there, so it allows heat to escape. And he has a soffit is what covers that to keep the water out. So I'm sitting there watching this tree just rake it back like a good 6 inches. It's just peeled it back.
Oh no. As this weather is bearing down.
Yeah. We're hours away from the storm.
So. Has he done anything to it, to the roof? Has he got up there, put a tarp on it or anything at all?
Dude, I tell you this, I did roofing a little bit in high school. There's no way I would climb that roof. It's too steep.
Yeah.
At this age, you know, with no safety equipment.
Sure.
And he was trying to get up there and I talked him out of it. I was like, just let it go, man.
Yeah.
It's too dangerous. There's no way.
It's going to be a lot of rain, but he's got a hell of a case to, to throw an insurance claim at that company for doing that.
Well, I don't know a lot about insurance claims, but I know named storms, especially in South Carolina, hurricane insurance is not necessarily hurricane insurance. A lot of times hurricane insurance doesn't cover water or wind.
Yeah.
It covers, which is crazy. You would think hurricane insurance would be water and wind, but
did you see behind me what Jessica made me?
Huh. Oh, I see it now.
She surprised me and she took the, I did the rebuild of the workbench. Mm-hmm. She took the old workbench top and used that as the background for it. So when you can't see it now, but when you look at it close, you can see all the little drill holes and the circle hole bits and all the dings, how it's gotten beat up over the last 3 years, just got all kinds of character. I figure when we blow up and we have a big headquarters somewhere, that'll be a cool piece to have in there somewhere.
Your big headquarters in Missoula, Montana or whatever. How does she fit that in the laser machine? Cause that
she used the laser to cut out the letters individually. And then she measured and
placed on top of it.
Yeah. Place the letters. Yeah.
That looks sick. Great job, Jessica.
Yeah.
It's very good.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Been kick ass.
She, the weekend we were at the Hunt Club for when Brian came down from 10th Mountain Whiskey, she likes to rearrange my office when I'm not here. She knows I won't let her do it when she's here, so she likes to rearrange things, and I came back and she had done that for me.
Oh, that's awesome. That's a very cool surprise. It's pretty sick, and it's got character to it, a story, so there's no reason to ever get rid of it.
Yeah, maybe I'll do a live or something, or not, well, maybe whatever. I'll do something and show all the up close, like you can see differences in color where like some of the jig stayed for years, but everything else around it is aged and all beat up, and it's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Tells a story.
Yeah, I look forward to that. What are you sipping on? I saw you pour something.
That Peerless Double Oak.
Nice.
It's good. It's a good sipper.
I had the the cab, the guys, if so, I'm doing a kitchen remodel for this, but I had the from water damage. It's not like I was like, hey, I've got $20,000 to spend. It wasn't that. It was, it's all an insurance claim, but I had the cabinet installers in there. And as soon as they walked in, one of them was like, dude, I'm a huge whiskey guy. I was like, yeah, what's your favorite whiskey? And he was like, whatever's free. I was like, oh, so you're just a drinker, which is fine, which is just fine. And, but anyway, I was like, you know, whatever you want, man, do you want to take a sample? And he was like, well, I mean, yeah, if you're offering. I was like, dude, we'll get turned up. I got nothing to do today. Let's go ahead and pop a bottle. And his supervisor was like, hey, at least let him put the bases down before y'all start drinking. I was like, oh, okay. So I knew it wasn't going to happen. But anyway, they finished the install, and when they were done, they were all kind of like standing outside, like they were waiting on something. And I had already tipped them and everything. So it, yeah. I was like, oh, we were going to have some whiskey. I was like, what? You guys want to have some whiskey? And then that guy was like, we got to go to another job after this, so we can't. I was like, ah, it sucks, man. And then his supervisor goes, I'll have a shot. I was like, all right, cool. And then the other two guys were like, well, that's my boss. If you take a shot, I'll take a shot. So yeah, we brought him in there. So I poured all three of them something different. One of them, he was the only one that could name a brand, which is a guy that didn't say anything about whiskey the entire time. But he was like, yeah, I like Wild Turkey. And I was like, well, I'm going to blow your mind. So I pulled out a dusty bottle of turkey for him. And then the other guy was like, what's your flavor profile? He didn't know. So I poured him some Weller 12 and like let him take a picture of the bottle. I was like, one day you'll appreciate it. And the other guy was like, I just like wood. Like, I want it to taste like wood. So that's what I pulled down, that Peerless Double Oak.
Yeah.
And gave him some of that. He loved it.
Yeah. Awesome. Look at you. You steward you.
Just trying to make the people happy. I also wanted to issue a formal apology to everybody for last week. That was not intentional. We had planned to record as, you know, had left, it's, you know, travel.
It was a mess. Like, our schedules got messed up the week leading up to it. And we were like, you know, and it wasn't even schedules. It was the week before that we had recorded at your house with Brian, and I mistakenly took all the microphones home. Yeah. So we set up a time and we were getting set up, and I moved what I needed to. And then you were like, I think you have all the microphones, and sure shit, I did. So we had to, we could have brought all the, I could have driven all the equipment up there, and we could have recorded in Kentucky, but
when
every time, well, yeah. And every time we do that, it just, I don't know. I just feel like it takes away from the event and the weekend. And so we decided we would just record when we got home. I brought a microphone up there to hand off to Matt. And then they were going to fly home. Jessica and I drove home, and traffic was bad. Flights were what flights are. And it just,
before you know it, it's super late and we're just tired. Yeah.
So I threw out the recap episode from last year's bourbon and barbecue bash, because we touched on it briefly. We touched on that briefly in that episode, and then we talked about some tips and tricks for planning hunts out of state. So it's that time of the year, folks are looking at their tags and getting their results back from drawings and getting their tags and planning those trips. So check out that episode. It's got all kinds of good tips to help you out with that.
Yeah. But we're here now, so we can go over. How do you want to do it? Do you want to do like, we'll tell each other's Friday? Cause I don't really, neither of us really talked about that.
Yeah, sure. That's fine. You want me to start?
You want to start? Or you want me to start?
I'll start. So okay. Friday, Friday I had work and kid stuff. Kids had school. So we had to wait till the kids got off school. And then, we ended up, leaving South Carolina. Lost your camera there. There we go. Ended up leaving South Carolina at like 3:00. And so we were like, all right, it's an 8-hour drive from here. So I'm like looking at the GPS and I was like, it's going to be, tack on an hour to whatever GPS says for stopping for gas, taking a piss, grabbing something to eat. So it was 11:00. It was going to be 11:30 before we got there. So we drove, we didn't hit any traffic or anything. It was actually nice because it was nighttime, so there wasn't a whole lot of traffic. But if you've ever driven from anywhere in the Carolinas or southern or southeastern Georgia, anywhere up towards Tennessee or Kentucky, you have to go through the Appalachian Mountains somewhere along the way. And so we hit, we got to Greenville just as sundown. It was beautiful seeing the sunset over the mountains, but driving, and you know, who else likes to drive late at night? Truckers. So
I was say drug addicts, but
what's that? Well, that also, yes, true. Very true.
Drunks.
So the only part that ladies of the night was, but yeah, ladies of the night. So the only part that was not fun was being stuck in between 18 wheelers. So there was a lot of, so you've driven that road enough times now. It's been under construction for like for 2 years. So there's tons of stretches along the mountain passes there where it's just, there's really no shoulder. It's just those concrete barriers. And so there were tons of times where you're going down the mountain and it feels like you're going downhill. So it feels like you're going faster than you actually are, but you've got an 18 wheeler, you know, I don't know, 4 feet to your right. And then a concrete barrier 2 feet to your left and gripping the, you know, white knuckle on the steering wheel, trying not to cause an accident. But that, you know, it is what it is. We got in late, you know, slept in a little bit, and then we thought about it. We talked about it on the way up there. You know, we could have just driven up Saturday morning, but what an exhausting day to drive up and then do the event just to sleep and drive back. But that being said, like we thought about flying also, and the cost was minimally different. But you know, we get, you know, when you drive, you can pull over when you want to pull over. You don't have to deal with airports and baggage and you know, you can stop when you want to stop. You can make you can drive faster if you want to drive faster. You can take your time if you want to take your time. You know, listen to whatever music you want to, or, you know,
what time do you end up getting in?
Oh, when we arrived around midnight.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, around midnight, around what we thought we would. And that's, we kind of, you know, we had that expectation. We knew that was going to be the case. It just, I don't know. I like, if I have a long drive, I like starting it first thing in the morning because I hate sitting around thinking about it all day. And that made it feel so much longer because I had been thinking about it all damn day.
Yeah. Yeah. Our Friday, so we had cabinet install on Friday, which we didn't know when that was going to end. And then, I had a bunch of stuff to move. And so I had like a couple friends come over to help move stuff that live right here. Mm-hmm. And so our plan was to leave Saturday morning, get up at like 6 a.m. and just drive up. That way we weren't miserable going straight from driving to the event. Mm-hmm. That was the plan. And then knowing that the floor install took 3 days and it was like they ended at like 6-7 o'clock every day. And it's just been miserable dealing with it. So, which... You know what's funny is like we know friends that are like legit program or project managers for construction companies. I could not imagine the amount of stress that is. I have a huge respect for those guys just because I had 1 week of that life. So it's like I did everything myself instead of hiring a project manager because you got to pay him. Mm-hmm. So it's like bringing in the floor guy, bringing in the countertop guy, bringing in the tile guy, bringing in the plumber, bringing in, you know. So to schedule everybody, and luckily, my cabinet guy knew that they weren't going to finish the floors in 1 day and it took them 3 days.
Right.
But anyway, so all that. So like on Wednesday or Thursday, I started looking at the trip, how much is it going to cost, and diesel, which I, you know, my truck's diesel. So it's like $4.30 to $4.50 a gallon right now.
Yeah. It ain't cheap.
It's not. So I looked it up and I did the math on it from here to there, plus an extra 100 miles, just goofing around.
Yeah.
It was like $350 is what it was going to cost me to drive there.
Yep.
So I was like, let me just see what flights are. And it, for the both of us, I think it was like $220 a person. And now I'm eliminating 16 hours of driving. It probably would have been closer to 18, you know, as you said, with stops and gas. So Friday, we didn't do anything. Saturday morning, well, so Friday, we hung out and did some stuff. Saturday morning, we went straight to the airport and we just packed one carry-on. So I dropped her off, let her go through TSA or through, you know, regular, because I have pre-check and she doesn't. So I let her go. And then I went and parked the car. And then she texted me and was like, I'm through TSA. And I was literally walking through the scanner machine at that when she texted me. When she didn't text me, as soon as I got through the scanner machine and got my phone, she had texted me and was like, I'm here.
Cool.
And or maybe it was right before. I think it was right before. Anyway. So pretty easy. It was pretty, but for some reason it flew us to Philly. So it was a 2 hour flight to Philly and then a 2 hour flight to.
Yeah. Did you expect that? Did you know it was going to Philly? Did you know there was a layover?
I didn't look. I just bought. I was like, whatever. I'll be there at 12:30 or something. I didn't care. And then, that morning, I was like, we're going to Philly. That's weird. It's way out of the way.
Yeah, it seems
from Charleston, South Carolina, yeah, to Philadelphia, and then to Kentucky. But whatever. Yeah. It's like, so we got there, and I was like, "Go ahead."
Well, it's just that flying is just strange in general. You know, like the number of times I've flown to you fly to somewhere on the West Coast, and you got to go like up to like way up north first, and then go way across instead of going to like Atlanta or Houston or Dallas first. It's, I don't know. It's always weird.
Yeah, you fly to Detroit and then fly to San Diego.
Yeah, Detroit or Chicago first. That those two blow my mind. They're really weird.
Anyway. What I think it is price. I think it's like it's cheaper, but you wouldn't think it would be cheaper to spend that much fuel flying that far out of the way.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing it's just nobody wants those flights. And nobody's taking them.
Probably what it is.
Excuse me. I don't know. But so we got there. As soon as we arrived, I was looking at Ubers from the hotel to or from the airport to the hotel, and it was like 40, I think it was right at $40, and I was like, I'm pretty sure I can get a rental car for $40. So then I was like, well, if it's 40 there, it's gonna be 40 back, and if I were to Uber to get lunch, because we wanted to eat lunch,
yeah,
I was like, I'm looking at $100 in Uber. So I got on like the Avis app, and we had talked about it while we were there, like having traveling for work, getting reward points and all that stuff.
Oh yeah.
So I got a brand new Nissan Armada Platinum for $80 for 24 hours, which, nice. Like, yeah, why not?
Yeah, absolutely.
Full tank. So I did that instead. Yeah, and we listened to 90s hip hop the entire weekend.
Dude, Jessica and I listened to 90s and 2000 hip hop all weekend too. We were driving up and we're just like,
did you really?
Yeah, I swear to God, we did. We were just cruising through. That's a lot funny. Of 2000s mostly, but reminiscing, just hearing old songs that we hadn't listened to since we were in high school.
Yeah.
Bringing up old memories and stuff. It was a lot of fun.
Do you do what I do? Like when Machiavelli comes on and then I'm like, I turn it down. I'm like, or I pause it. I'm like, you know, Machiavelli's Tupac. And I go through the whole thing. Like, why Machiavelli's Tupac? And then she's like, yeah, I grew up in the same time frame as you and listen to the same music.
Right.
I'm like, oh, okay. I just, you know. But I feel like I have to explain it.
Yeah. I catch myself like, I don't know, call it mansplaining, whatever you want. But like, I get excited about stuff and I want to explain it to other people. And they're like, yeah, I know. I've heard the story.
I'm aware. Yeah, I've been there. But anyway, so we had lunch at Old, what is OCB? Old County Bourbon or something? OCB remember. Kitchen, which you and I went to before. Mm-hmm. I think something just hit the side of my mouth.
Nice.
I made a noise. Anyway, we went there. We had, every time I go there, man, like living in Charleston, it's hard to top our food. But yeah, they do such a good job. Their food is so good. If you're in the Kentucky Lexington area, I'm not sure they have more than one. I think they have three actually. You should definitely check
it out. OBC, Old Bourbon
County. OBC, Old Bourbon County. That's what it is.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah, that's where
OBC
we
met Kitchen.
The first year that we went up there, that's where you and I met. Jessica and I met you and Andy there. And
they all gave you a
crazy cocktails. Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah. That was fun. That was funny.
Was it fun? Did you enjoy it?
We don't have
to say what Andy knows.
Yeah, it was
fun. The people that the wives know what it is. Yeah, I thought it was funny too. But yeah, OBC Kitchen, man. And I went there. So I went, when we went there, like as soon as we sat down, like they were kind of slow and the guy was like, you know, kind of feeling me out.
Yeah.
You know, what are you looking at? And I was like, well, I really wouldn't like to try some of your picks. And I was like, do you have anything you picked? He's like, well, he moved and he came back or whatever. And he was telling me he's got an old pick that he has. But before that, I did like a Russell's pick. And then I had one of his picks that he had done like 5 years ago, which was pretty cool to taste. And just having those conversations and like really talking whiskey and talking, going in depth. Like who, you know, what's this? What's that? What do you think about Blue Run? Which was fun. But he collects Blue Run. You know how when you have those conversations with people and then you shit on something and then they're like, well, that's actually.
That's always
that
fun.
Happened. Yeah. But he was really cool about it. He agreed. Well, he was like, there's no way they're building that distillery.
I
was like,
oh, really? He said that? That's funny. Yeah. That's really cool. Yeah. Yeah. But I think people who really are into, who understand bourbon or understand whiskey in general, I don't think most of them take offense to, right? Like, if you don't like something, you just don't like it. And it's okay. Like, if I like something, that's my thing. And if I have the whole lineup and I have, you know, picks from this year all the way back 10 years, that's just my thing. If you don't like it, shit on it all you want. I'm still going to go home and drink it.
Yeah, it's fine. And everybody's palate's different. So it is what it is.
Yeah. It's always fun.
So we got back to the hotel there and I hit you up and y'all had been, you guys went to lunch. I've been day drinking.
Yeah. It was
a little bit.
Yeah, I went to some local spot. I cannot remember the name of it still to save my life. And
what makes it a local spot? I wanted to ask you that when you
so
were there.
I yeah
you told me this
good,
right
good point. And this is something that, you know, Jessica and I, when we travel, I say local spot because it's a place I've never seen or heard of before.
Yeah,
it could be a chain, but I didn't think it was. I've never heard of it. I've never seen it
before. Oh, you meant local as though locally owned.
Yeah, locally owned. Like okay, it's a place that we don't have in Charleston or South Carolina. I've never seen in any other state. I've never heard of it before. We had to look it up and see like what they even serve there.
I thought you meant like all the locals go here.
No. Nothing like that.
It was
like
a,
yeah, it was like a, I'm trying to think of what you could compare it to. It's just like in a typical American restaurant. They had, you know, kind of this cabin, wood cabin sort of feel,
like Dookie's barbecue.
Yeah, right. But it was you know, TVs, you know, in one main section, kind of in the TV sprinkled throughout with some sports on. They had a decent bar, some outdoor seating, and then everything from burgers to tacos to salads, you know, just a regular array. We had these, I will tell you, I'll look up and find out the name of it. Next time we go up there, we'll have to stop in. They have this appetizer that are these croissants. Are you still there?
Yeah.
Your camera.
How do I keep doing that?
I don't know what you're doing, but
I keep clicking it.
Oh,
sorry. I keep clicking it. I don't know how.
Are you hitting something on your keyboard?
I'm guessing. It's Control E.
Oh, weird.
Anyways, I don't know how I keep doing it. Maybe the mouse is going out.
It's this platter of like hand size, like croissants, and they come out hot, and they're drizzled with this like honey, like maple honey syrup, and then sprinkled with, I think it's walnuts.
Dude, hell yeah.
I could have eaten like two plates of those for my lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really Saturday, good. Bro. Yeah, for sure. let me tell you what, I felt so bad eating those, I ordered a salad for lunch.
That makes sense though. That's the shit I would do for sure.
Yeah.
Like, well, now I did that. Dude, I watched a documentary on the way there. I know we're trying to get to the camp here thing, but I watched a documentary on the way there about like our food, which, you know, I shouldn't do because you know how my brain works.
Sure.
And they were talking about E. coli. They were like, for E. coli, for meat, for beef, they've pretty much stamped it out. Like everything has to be tested. There's no E. coli in the beef. They find it, they kill all the cows. Like everything's, it's sad. But the chicken, they're like, well, you know, if it's got salmonella in it, we just assume that it's up to the consumer to cook that shit out of it. Like, don't eat raw chicken. That's why they always tell you, like, don't eat raw chicken. So they don't really, they're not held to any standard. That's but funny. Romaine lettuce
is the worst.
There's E. coli in it.
Yeah.
Well, it's across the there's two places in America where they grow romaine lettuce, and they're both of them are across the river from a cow,
Makes
massive
sense.
Cow farm.
Yeah.
Like a cow pen, like we saw in Colorado when we were driving there.
Yep.
But yeah, like, and so they're interviewing, like, you know, everyone left, like everybody that's pro con, people that work for the FDA, like everybody.
Yeah.
And they're like, what's the only thing in the grocery store you won't buy? And all of them, romaine lettuce.
Yeah.
You won't buy it.
Yeah, I do. I'm telling you, you can ask Jessica. We've had this, there have been three different work trips where I have eaten a salad and I have gotten ridiculously sick.
Well, the thing that scares me, like, I don't care about getting sick, whatever. Like, we food poisoning, you know, I've had it. I'm going to have it again one day. I'm going to have it in November, like, for an entire week when I go to Mexico. But whatever. But this E. coli thing, it kills people. And it shuts down your kidneys, dude. You can't – it's hard to come back from that. But there's people that get sick, and they're on dialysis for the rest of their life because they ate a salad.
Yeah, hard pass on
and
that.
I'm like –
I've mostly stopped eating salads. So it actually surprised Jessica when I ordered it. She was like, are you sure?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, you know, I'm feeling a salad today. And I did. And then I was like, oh, man.
I had these giant butter covered croissants.
Dude, this thing's had to have been 500 calories a piece. It was wild.
That means they were good. That's all that means.
And then, of course, to make a, you know, a super healthy decision sandwich, I washed that down with it had to have been a half gallon, like mason jar. That was it was all clear liquors with like a little bit of Sprite and a little bit of lemonade. It was like triple sec, vodka, rum, gin, and like two other things. And
it was a Long Island Arnold Palmer.
It was a Long Island lemonade or whatever you want to call it. Yeah. And I housed that, and then then she was like, we should go do some shopping. I was like, you set me up, because now I can't say no.
Spend it.
She knew that. She knew what she was doing.
That's funny. So we got back to the hotel then, and I had hit you up, and you were like, dude, just hang out with us. And I was like, I don't want to interrupt, you know, mommy, daddy away from the kid time. but you said, we're just old, tired,
just old people watching TV, and riding the bus, man. It was just, it's all good.
So we came down to the hotel bar, and we were drinking and doing some people watching, and we had an in-depth conversation about hotel people watching. It's one of the best. If you ever stay in a hotel, just do yourself a favor and spend 2 hours at a hotel bar. You'll see the wildest shit everywhere. I've never not had it happen.
It's fun, man. The lobby is, especially big, that a resort like that, you have so many different events going on at one time. And just from listening to conversations, like, we knew obviously of our event that was there. There was a wedding going on. There was a horse riding competition that was going on close by. So there were riders that were staying there. There was a soccer match, like a semi-pro soccer match going on. So there were two soccer teams in the hotel. And then there were all the people that were staying there playing golf at the resort. There were a ton of different types of people there. So it was really like the bars were definitely like a melting pot of different people and personalities.
You really get to see the like get a pulse of America, and you're like, these people are pieces of shit. The vast majority. We can say that because we weren't talking to anybody. Anyway, so then we went and went to the barbecue. Went to the I always forget what it's called. Bourbon and Barbecue Heroes Bash. Is that right?
It is the American Heroes Camp Hero Kentucky American Heroes Bourbon and Barbecue Bash. It is a mouthful.
Yeah. Long name, but what it is Camp Hero, you know, the charity that we support, because it's 100% volunteer. There's nobody there that's paid a salary, and that is our big gripe with a lot of charities. Most of the CEOs are making crazy money. There's a lot of people that support in our industry the Folds of Honor, where the CEO makes $670,000 or $680,000 a year.
Boat Trader is America's largest boating marketplace, with over 100,000 boats to choose from. We offer simple, comprehensive solutions for those looking to sell, find, and finance new or used boats. Visit BoatTrader.com to get started.
We could fact check that. We'll just call it over $500,000 a year. So in our case, where I don't make five. Do you make $500,000 a year, Gus?
No.
Yeah, me neither. So I don't think so. I'm not. I don't see the need to give that guy any of my money. But Camp Hero Kentucky is 100% volunteer, and anyone that asks us where can they donate to a charity, well, that's one of our favorites. We have a few you can pick from, but that's definitely one of our favorites. But anyway, we love going to this charity event. We sponsored every year. We were silver sponsors this year, bronze sponsor. I don't know. We were sponsors this year. We had our name on the thing, which was cool to see your name on a thing at an event. And they auctioned off a lot of bourbon. There was a lot of bourbon there. One of the packages was $5,000 in whiskey. There was just one package that a guy won.
Yeah, that's a lot.
But we came in, and it was hot as fuck.
Yeah, it was really hot in that room, man. For a hotel with huge industrial coolers and HVAC systems, you'd think they could have pumped some more air in there.
Some paid for air in there.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of bodies in that room, though.
There was a lot of people
packed them in there for sure.
And it was a great time. From the DJ. And I don't mean, that's probably a dumb way to start, because I don't want you to get the impression that it was like a dance club. But the guy playing music as the event started, to the speakers, to Rocco, to the giveaways, or not the giveaways, to the auctions, to the auctioneer, some of the stuff you could get to win. I mean, he had the entire, not that we're Blanton's people, but he had the entire Blanton setup, which I think they said was 5,000, but it was, they had the Blanton's honey barrel, which for those that don't know, there's no honey in that. It's just that's their honey. That's their sweet spot in the warehouse.
Right, right.
And so Rocco gave us a sample of another bottle. And Gus, what did you think about it?
Yeah, it was great. Fucking asshole. It was, he handed me a bottle with a few drops. Like, I was able to, like, I think, I don't know if you did it on purpose. If you knew I was going to have to,
I did it on purpose.
Tilt my head back, and I was going to have to
And so you dropped it straight down your throat. 137 proof.
Yeah, 137 proof.
Straight now, down your throat.
Mind you, 2 days before this event, I kind of started getting this cold. So I'm congested, and my throat's all raw from coughing. And that shit hits the back of my throat, and I start coughing, and my eyes are tearing up, and pussy in front of everybody. It was great.
Yeah. This is whiskey and wine tales guy. Can't drink. Can't drop it. Can't hold his liquor.
It was fun though, man. They gave away, not gave away. I keep saying that they raffled off and auctioned off, I think 4 or 5 different guns, numerous paintings, all kinds of like one of one, pieces of art and things like that. A number of different hunts, everything from gator hunts down to Florida to, guided whitetail hunts in central Kentucky, access deer. It was access deer, not access deer.
It was coos deer. Coos, no, not coos deer.
Sick of deer.
Yes.
Sick of deer up in Maryland. Tons of guided hunts. Those things go for, you know, they're not cheap, but when you bid on them, if you got the cash to grab one of them, you get great deals on those hunts, at these auctions. Yeah. And the money all goes to a great cause. So,
You'll spend a little more than you normally would. But also, like, some of these hunts, I mean, they were, if you were to try to do it yourself, if you were to try to go on that sick of deer hunt, I mean, shit, man, to find somebody to show you where they are, you would probably pay what that went for at auction. And this covered room and board, all everything. You had to pay for your own flight, I think. But outside of that, it covered everything else.
They have a great silent auction, which is fun because a lot of people kind of sleep on the silent auction and things go unnoticed. Like, you guys won something, right? Didn't you win something?
Well, the secret is most silent auctions will have the auction item there. And it'll be like this big thing with a thing and you bid on it. This one, Andy found it. It was kind of, my wife, she found it. It was kind of like set along to the side and there was nothing. All it said was Kentucky Derby or not. It wasn't Derby, Kentucky. It was Churchill Downs box seats for 4 people or something, which that package for the full day is like $4,000 or $5,000.
Yeah.
But it was just, it was sandwiched in between 2 other auction items that had like a picture and some whiskey and a bunch of stuff with it. Yeah. And then it was just in there in between. And so nobody even looked at it. So we got it for, I think, $125 or
something. That's fucking wild, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, that's the secret. And there's all kinds of those things. There's a lot of little pieces, little things that get lost. So when you walk through those silent auctions, there's usually a lot of big pictures and big stuff like you're describing that are, you know, propped up and are really eye-catching. And those, you'll find little things like what you described. You'll find little pieces of like nice jewelry. I'm talking diamond jewelry.
Yeah.
That have been donated. And so whatever they get for, it's, you know, whatever they get for, but you can get some of this stuff for a couple $100 that you'd pay thousands for in the store.
Like, what's a, like 4 grains of sand squeezed together into a diamond, into a nose ring. What's that cost these days?
Fucking like $240.
Right. So there was that. Diamond ring up there, like a man, a pair for male and female.
There you go.
A pair. Jesus Christ. There's no way to say it. I can't say husband and wife. Whatever. Fuck it. You know, leave it in the comments. There was a pair for a man and a woman to have a wedding ring set up and, they were diamond rings and they were cheap. It was cheaper. I mean, I don't know that it was. Did you look at it? Am I talking my ass? Was it real diamonds?
Are you talking about the pair that was to the left of the main stage in the box? Yeah, it was sterling silver and cubic zirconia. I checked them out.
Oh, okay. Because I saw that it went really cheap and I was like, dude, that's crazy. I wish I had bid on that.
Yeah, someone's going to propose with that and just let someone think they hit it big.
Isn't it weird that women. It is what it is. Isn't it went weird for me in my life? Women want, even then, now I'm in trouble with my wife. I say that. Isn't it weird that women want to have real diamonds? Like, what do they care? I don't understand. Because the whole thing about it is like wearing it and people go, ooh, ah. So like cubic zirconian, like, you know, I get it. We've been married 10 years. She deserves a diamond ring.
Sure.
That's not a problem. But out the gate, right. Yeah. Like what have you really done? You've been dating for a few years. Like, why do you deserve, you're probably going to end up divorced anyway because the divorce rates are super high. So would you spend $10,000 on a ring for a chick you're really not having?
I don't know. I'm going to be getting something. Our 10 year anniversary is next year and,
oof, sucks.
Yeah.
You better start working nights, bruh.
Doing all kinds of stuff. Trust me.
Yeah.
Anyways,
I had to finance my 10-year wedding gift.
Yeah. Well,
for like 9 months before I even gave it to her, because I wanted to make sure that I had at least half of it paid for.
Yeah. You gotta do what you gotta do, man.
Hey,
the things we do.
Yeah. No, we love our wives. Everything's fine. So the dinner raised a bunch of money, had a great time. You guys peeled out after it was over because you had a long drive back.
Yep.
I fortunately didn't have to get up until 11, nice. I think. It was nice because I went out on the back patio and I did what I do when I drink too much.
Which is?
You guess.
You peed outside.
No, talked a bunch of shit to a bunch of people and made good connections. I actually made some solid friendships, I think. But I told a lot of people a lot of stuff. There was the Camp Hero guy that does the he's like the guy on Joe Rogan podcast. His name's Mike, and he does all that cybersecurity stuff.
You know, okay.
There's a guy like that with Camp Hero.
Oh, okay.
He does private contracting security stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So we ended up talking about a lot of stuff. He was asking me about the Chinese weather balloon situation, some forest fires that have been caught on fire. We were talking about stuff like that. You know, just nothing serious, man. Just
drunk
talking shit. And then I ended up sitting out there with a firefighter. I'm not going to say his name for many reasons, but we hit it off, dude. Like, had great conversations. He was forced into the vaccine. We talked a lot about that and like what that's done to his life and how he feels now and like being around all these people and the things he's done with himself. And he started a window cleaning business, which hits home for me because I have three friends that own window cleaning businesses and all three of them are doing fantastic in life.
Yeah.
It's just hard work, man. You got to find clients and do a better job than the other guy.
Right.
And I'm almost like, I'm going to just give it all up and start cleaning windows.
Service, man. Service industries, it's...
Dude, they're crushing. All of the people I know that have a window cleaning business are crushing. Like, absolutely murdering. Just they're money left and right.
There are just essential services that people, companies pay for without question. Yeah. They don't question it. It's just, this has to be done. Here's a check.
Go ahead.
Well, all you have to do, like you said, is do a little bit better than the other guy or provide some sort of service or relationship that is better than the other guy, basically.
And there was a guy that I met that kind of is in the same industry. I don't want to give too many details away because I shouldn't even be talking about it. So I'm just going to just say it in generalities. But him and his wife were making so much money a year, tax bracket, income tax, et cetera, so on and so forth. So what they ended up doing was getting a divorce. They still love each other. It's not like they divorced and separated. They got a divorce, so they're no longer connected to each other.
On paper.
And she quit her job, and she's working like kind of a cash deal for him. So she gets paid this cash, and he's getting paid through his job,
right?
Whatever. And so she doesn't make whatever the minimum is. Like, she gets paid on salary, but doesn't make enough to get taxed each year.
Right, yeah.
And then gets cash tips on top. And it's nothing illicit. It's like a normal business. But now they're bringing home exponentially more than they were both working normal jobs, paying taxes, blah, blah, blah. But it's crazy to hear that because, like, this day and age, man, I mean, I'm struggling. Everybody's struggling. It's just crazy how much everything costs. And when you see where your tax money goes and then to watch people find a way around it, I love it.
I love it, too. You just want to give a slow clap.
Mm-hmm.
Like, good for you for figuring that out a way. And then it makes me sit around and Google and look for loopholes and ways around shit.
Well, I've told my wife, I'm like, what does it really matter? What do you care? And for us, it wouldn't, the cost benefit, there isn't one.
Yeah.
But because she makes more than the non-taxable thing. But like, if I had kids, I'd get a divorce immediately. And she would, I mean, I'm just saying. It's your relationship is your relationship. Who am I to sit here and say someone should do something? I'm just saying for me,
sure,
it would be a very easy conversation. Like, we just get a divorce on paper. We deal with the whatever. Don't even tell anybody. Nobody needs to know. It's nobody's business. And we have a weird relationship. We got a divorce, but we still live together. We stay together for the kids or whatever. But there was a tax income benefit from it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just funny to see the ingenuity that people have. Like, there's a lot of stupid people out there, but there's also a lot of smart people. And they think of things that I would have never thought about. I would have never thought.
Yeah. Some of the smartest people that I know are not necessarily the book smart, you know, master's degree, PhD degree, you know, type of thing. They're just, they're street smart. They've learned how to survive, learned how to play the game.
Oh, I said I did it upside down.
There you go.
There we go. I don't know what that means, but I see people talking about it on Instagram. Well, they're part of the Illuminati. Is that Illuminati?
No idea what that means. No idea what you're starting or what you're
like. Well, I see people like on TV and they're talking like this and they're like,
oh, maybe
holding their hands like that. And then all the comments are like, oh, New World Order, blah, blah, you know,
maybe that's what it is.
But I think it's a hand symbol for whatever. Could be. Excuse me. Could be. But yeah, the dinner was amazing. Raised a bunch of money. The speaker was good. A little long-winded. But he had a point to put out, which is fine. And I enjoyed it. Rocco's speech was great. Rocco's
hurt. Rocco was a little well. Rocco was a little more unhinged this year than he was previous years.
He was in a lot of pain this year. And to watch him sit there and sweat and work through it.
Yeah.
Inspiring, man. It's inspiring. You look around at people that are, well, I don't feel good, you know.
Right.
I'm thick today. I'm not coming to work. But to watch a guy sit there, basically his entire body's aching and he's sweating because he can't control his own temperature and he's a ton of pain. He had a walker.
Yeah.
Walker.
Yeah.
He could have easily been like, hey, Johnny, why don't you, hold on.
Here's Johnny.
Hey, Johnny, what? Because his name is Johnny. Hey, Johnny, why don't you, I'm surprised I remember that because I lost the cover for it. Why don't you run the event for me? I'm in too much pain. I'm going to lay in the hotel room. Nope. He sat there. He even helped load up the trailer before he left that night.
Wow.
It's crazy, man. That dude's got something that most people don't have.
That's true.
Good dude.
Yeah.
It's a great charity. Great organization. Love it. Love it. Love it. And then Sunday, what time did y'all get up?
We got up at, it was like 6:30, 7 o'clock, I think it was. We were out of there a little bit before 8. We were on the road. We got home right around 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock.
Nice.
Yeah, easy day, easy drive back. The drive back went by much quicker than the.
It always does.
Yeah, than the drive up there. But it was super easy, laid back. We stopped at a grocery store in Ingles and grabbed something from their deli instead of stopping for fast food. And,
yeah,
It was a good drive. We, parents. It's hard to have conversations sometimes without getting interrupted all day with kids mm-hmm. or other things. And, so it's nice to have a, you know, to you, it would seem like 16 hours, you know, wait, you know, just in a vehicle driving. It was nice to be able to talk about things and work through things and bring a notepad and jot things down, plan things out. We haven't had a chance to plan out things like that. So it was good. It was nice.
That's awesome, man. I always love, like, we do a lot of stuff and I always love when the wives are able to come because of a lot of reasons, but. Definitely just the getting out of the normal area and kind of seeing stuff, but it's also good for them to see kind of like what we do. And, you know, this, when we're gone, this is kind of what we're doing. We're gone. We're having fun doing this.
Yeah. It's good for them to see as well. I believe. I agree.
Yeah. I like it. I enjoy it. Love it. I flew back. So we had a pit stop in Philly again and, had a bit of a layover due to airline things. So we were walking and as we were walking, we both kind of were talking about the last time we came to Philadelphia, not the flight before, but like when we actually went there and we were talking about cheesesteaks. And I have this theory about cheesesteaks and correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, it doesn't matter. This is my theory for me. I think when you think about a cheesesteak, I think you have this idea in your head about a cheesesteak. And I don't think that really exists. I don't think it's possible to do it.
Really?
You know what I mean? You ever had a cheesesteak and been like, this is it? Or you're always like, well, I had one before, it was better.
I guess I've never really had one that just made me say, you know what, this is the standard from now on.
That's my point. That's why I don't think they exist.
Because they're all different. So,
they are. And they're for all people are like, different. Oh, you haven't had? I have. I've had, if there's a place in Philadelphia that sells cheesesteaks, I've had a cheesesteak there. But this particular trip, we went to Luke's. Which is better than Gino's, in my opinion. And so I went to Luke's. And I mean, you know, if we take a picture of something, put it in our story and tag a company, 100% of the time, they repost it.
Yeah.
Luke's did not repost it because that cheesesteak looked like shit. And so then we weren't happy. So we went to Gino's and got a Gino's cheesesteak. Granted, we're in the airport. We're not at the actual, but I'm just going to tell you it's on par with what I've gotten at the physical location. So what did Gino's got a cheesesteak there? Same thing. Like the story. They said, thanks for coming in or whatever they said.
Yeah.
No repost, but they repost anyone that tags them ever, but they didn't repost ours because it looked like shit. But anyway, is what it is. Quality. I don't believe that the cheesesteak in your head exists. I've never had it. And I've had all the cheesesteak. Everybody's like, go get a cheesesteak here. I've never had a cheesesteak like the one in my head.
Yeah.
Even if I try to make it, I can't make it either. So I'm not saying like y'all suck and I'm sure. I'm just saying I don't think it exists. I don't know.
Well, I hope you find that cheesesteak one day, man.
The cheesesteak in the sky.
Yeah.
I might start the church of the cheesesteak and then I don't know. Because the thing is like Cubans, like I love a good Cuban. So I perfected, in my opinion, I perfected the Cuban. And I've had multiple people eat my Cubans and be like, this is the best Cuban I've ever had. And then they'll send me pictures of Cubans that they've eaten as life brings you Cuban sandwiches.
Happens all the time.
I'm like, not good. This isn't it. Like yours was better. And I'm like, the fact they took the time out to text me that my Cuban was better.
That says a lot.
It's true. Yeah.
And what people should know, and I don't know if we have enough time to even go over the whole process, but you take like 3 or 4 days to cook that thing.
I do. And I'm going to tell everybody how to do it. It's not that much time, actually. It's very easy because I stole it. If you Google Chef Show. So Chef Show was a TV show. They also made a movie called Chef or something like that. I don't remember what it was. But anyway, if you Google Chef Show cheesesteak and you click it, they're going to tell you how to make it. Or not Cuban. Excuse Cuban, me. Yeah. They're going to tell you how to make it. Now, in there, it says slice up the mojo pork. Okay. You got to click that link. That will take you to the mojo pork recipe, which takes 48 hours to make. So you make a huge, it's expensive. It costs a lot of money. It's like it costs like $300 to make these Cubans. So, but it makes a lot of food. So you got to have like people are coming into town. You're going to make it for everybody.
Yeah. Make it a thing. So
you got to get the pork. And I go to an actual butchery and I get like an actual pork shoulder from a butcher I trust. I don't buy anything from like Foodline or Publix. And then you have to brine it. And it sits in a brine. The brine's expensive. It's a bunch of ingredients. And then you soak it in a mojo sauce because I don't like mojo on the side. You dip it in, makes this bread soggy. I don't like that. I like crunchy, hard bread. I don't want soggy bread. So you marinate this mojo sauce. I do 24 hours. I think the recipe says 8. I do 24 hours.
Yeah,
and then you slow roast it, which takes, I don't know the menu off the top of my head, like 6 to 10 hours somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Slow roast it. And then I let it rest. I put it in the fridge. And it sits till tomorrow. And then I'll make the sandwich tomorrow. But it's a shit ton of butter. And you have to buy a plancha. Like, don't cheat. You have to do it correctly or it's not going to come out right.
Yeah.
But, like, you buy a plancha. You do all the things. And you make it correctly. And it'll be the best Cuban sandwich you've ever had. It's like, don't buy packaged ham off the rack in the fridge. You got to buy, like, boar's head. Like, really nice ham. Buy really nice Swiss cheese. Use Wickles pickles. Get gourmet mustard. You know, you got to buy good ingredients. Shit in, shit out. You got to buy good stuff.
That's right.
Good stuff.
So you know coach, what I mean? That's what my coach used to tell me. Eating burgers and fries between games on hockey weekends in high school.
Yeah.
But I was also like 17. You know, you can eat whatever I want.
100%.
Yeah. Anyways.
I was going to say, what does eating burgers have to do with hockey? But I got you there.
Yeah. You know, nutrition, sports nutrition. Go ahead. No, you go. You want to take a little
break? Well, I was going to say, we got to cut out because we have another podcast in 10 minutes.
Yep.
But I wanted to, instead of using the pre-recorded commercial for VPA, I was just going to do a VPA commercial real quick.
Do a shout out. Let's do it.
This podcast is brought to you by Vantage Point Archery. Vantage Point Archery makes broadheads that are unlike anyone else. Get rid of that mechanical crap that you've been using forever. It's the first shot you take is the only shot that matters. If you take your first shot in a practice round and you miss, guess what? You just missed a deer. The first shot is what matters. Why would you use a mechanical broadhead knowing that there is a possibility it could fail either on the way or inside of the target? You need to go back to full-on regular broadheads. Vantage Point Archery makes them out of solid steel. The dowel is like a circle, and then they machine cut a broadhead out of it, and they're meant to last forever. You can literally resharpen them and keep using them. Yep. Just keep using them. We're going to do a whole video of us shooting things you should not shoot broadheads with. We're going to destroy arrows doing it, but we're going to prove it to you. Yep. This stuff is amazing.
Yep. Yep. I shoot 125 grain. I love it. It's solid, you know, great quality, made right here in America. Great company.
Great people.
Great people. Check out their website. They have several other options combinations of weight, bevel, and all that stuff, vented, non-vented, all that stuff. So plenty of options for your setup.
And there is no promo code, because you just need to support this company. It's an American owned company. They're out of Indiana, Fort Wayne, Indiana. It's vparchery.com. You can go there. Look at it. They have everything from 3-blade, 2-blade, single bevel, double bevel, vented, non-vented, multiple weight grains from like 100 to 300, I think. So if you're an FOC guy, you want to shoot a heavy thing up front, they got it. If you want to shoot something more balanced, they got it. You're somewhere in the middle, you want to shoot a 125 like Gus and I do, single bevel, they got it. At least go look. Just do us a favor and go look. You look at it and you think, I'm going to give it a shot. Give it a shot, but at least do us a favor and go look. It's great stuff. And they're great people, and you're supporting an American company. Made in America, all of it. I went to the factory and watched them make it. I can guarantee you it's all made in America. That's all I got.
Vantage Point Archery. Where precision meets. I forget what the tagline is. But
made to do that.
Go check it out.
Yeah. Go do it. We made the switch, and you should too. Especially if you're shooting mechanicals.
Yeah, I love it. I like being able to shoot the same thing when I practice and not have to change out field tips. I like knowing, having my bow tuned to exactly what I'm shooting in the field. And like Matt said, when I go out and I practice, the first shot I take is the one I concentrate and take my time on the most, because it mimics the first shot in the field. You don't get a follow up. You don't get to keep practicing that a deer. You get one shot. So
one, and it will always be the first shot you take. Yeah, I will use field tips for bags, but if I'm shooting a box I'll use field tips to like play around. But if I'm actually like, this is for real, all right, you're taking a for real 30-yard shot, and I shoot the box, I use their broadheads, and they're still just as good at killing after you do that. It's you got to check it out. And that's all I got.
Thanks for joining this week. Thanks to our Patreon. Thanks to Waypoint Network for having us. And as always, check out our website. Go to whitetails.com and use the code podcast to get 20% off of our products. And you can go to where, Matt?
Patreon.com/whiskeyandwhitetails. And you can sign up for as low as $3 a month, and it'll give you access to our Discord, which we just changed. It used to be $5 to get in there. Now, $3 gets you in. Literally $3 a month. You can't buy anything for $3 a month.
No, but and you can buy access to our kick-ass podcast.
Gives you access to people like us that know what the hell they're talking about. And you got questions about gear. You want to get into hunting. You want to get into saddle hunting. You want to get into whiskey. You want to get into whatever. Whatever you want to get into, there's somebody in there that can answer. And if they can't, we'll probably answer anyway. Well, I mean, we're going to answer, but sometimes they beat us to it. But yeah, that's all I got.
All right. Till next time.
Cheers.
Adios.
Sláinte. Hasta luego.
Adios. Bye.